participate in the service today, knowing that we're all a part of this thing in Jesus' name. Thank and praise God for our visitors. So steadfast, let's give God a praise offering for all of our visitors. Praise the Lord. Praise God. You should be in Matthew chapter 7. If you're there, say, I have it. Some of y'all be saying it, but y'all Bibles be closed. I don't know what's that. You need to ask the Lord to forgive you right now. It's just as shut as it want to be. I have it. In your heart, you have it. But in reality, we need the reality to show up. Amen? We thank and praise God for our visitors. So steadfast, let's give God a big praise offering for our visitors. Praise the Lord. Now, we're about to do our Bible confession, but before we do, I want you to turn to your neighbor. Find somebody, look them in the eye, and say, smile. God loves you, and so do I. Praise God. Oh, I see all the teeth today. Praise the Lord. Hold your Bibles up in a comfortable position and repeat after me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I'm a believer, not a doubter. I'm a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In Jesus' name, give God some praise this morning. Praise the Lord. And you're in Matthew chapter 7. We're going to read verses 7 and 8 aloud together. Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8 together on the count of three. One, two, three. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Give God a praise. Praise the Lord. So we're going to be spending some time in Matthew chapter 7 for the rest of this month. And so we're going to start right here with verses 7 through 11. And today's topic is called Ask, Seek, Knock. Ask, Seek, Knock. And as the scripture says, and we have talked about it, we've really been, I don't know if y'all have picked up on this, we've been in Matthew 5, 6, and 7 all year long. Because that's where God told me to show up and park for a minute. And so, as we're looking at this, we know that Jesus is getting ready to culminate his Sermon on the Mount. So Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7 is Jesus speaking directly to us. It's all in red if you got the good Bible. And he is proffering a little more wisdom to all of us for the church today. Amen? And so he says, Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find, knock, and it will be open to you. And sometimes I think as we are believers moving through this life, we pray for certain things, and we may not see the manifestation of those things. And we may not take the time or the opportunity to ask ourselves, okay, why didn't this happen? And it's important to do so, because we could be messing up. And asking amiss, we could be not asking in the right way. But I don't think that at this point, especially here in the body of Christ as steadfast, that we're messing up the how. We know how to pray. We know that we ask for things of the Father in the name of Jesus. And then we thank God for what we've asked. We know how to intercede for other people. So it's not that. But it's, I think for some of us, it's the what. And the why. Not so much the how. We know the rules. Check. We don't know what to ask for and how and why we're really seeking those things. Because once you look at what's going on in the scripture, we have some assurances already. In verse 8, Jesus says, everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. To him who knocks, it will be open. So if you do the asking, if you do the seeking, if you do the knocking, you're going to get what you ask for, what you were seeking for, and what you were knocking to get into. Now look at verse 9. It says, or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, would give him a stone? And Jesus is talking about fatherhood here. Who's with their child, if the child asks for bread, would give them stone? If a child asks for bread, they need something to eat. Who's going to give them a stone in replacement for it? And look at verse 10. Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you ask for a fish for food, you don't need a snake. And so Jesus says in verse 11, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? And he ends that, or this phrase is ended with an exclamation point. It means you can shout about it at the end. Jesus says, if you being evil, and Jesus is not calling us evil, but we are human beings. We have a spirit, we have a soul, we live in a body, but unless we have reconnected with Jesus through salvation, then, as you know, we're sinners. We come up short. We're imperfect beings. And so if we, who are imperfect beings, know how to treat our kids well, if fathers know how to take care of their children, how much more will our Heavenly Father, Jesus says, give good things to those who ask him? So if we've been asking, and we've been seeking, and we've been knocking, and it ain't happening, we got to go back to the point of the ask, and the point of the seek, and the point of the knock to make sure that we're doing it in the right way. Not that we don't know the rules, but we need to know our hearts. We need to make sure that our heart posture is right before God in this relationship, and our faith game is what it should be. Amen? So let's look at ask. The word ask means to beg, to call for, to crave, to desire, to require. And the Amplified in this verse says, keep on asking, and it will be given to you. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking reverently, and the door will be open to you. And this indicates to me something that's very important. This ask that we do from God is not a one-time thing. Meaning we can continue to approach the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace and help in time of need. We can always ask. We can always seek. We can always knock. And he gonna answer. And he's gonna be found. And he's gonna open the door for us every single time. Think about a child. And how often a child asks for food? It's 24/7, 365. They asking for the same thing. They gonna keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. If you've ever seen a child that's breastfeeding, it's an interesting thing. Because they gonna seek until they find what they looking for. And they're always hungry. But when we think about our relationship to the Lord, why is it that we may ask for something and then we think that we can't ask for other things? Why do we not ask for everything? When you're in a relationship with a father or a mother and a child, they ask for everything. They have no inhibitions whatsoever when they ask. They know that you, as parent, are going to provide every single time. They have a confident expectation and a faith that you, as a parent, are going to show up for them until you, as a parent, don't show up for them. Until you disappoint them, there is no evidence to the contrary that you as a parent can't do what they're asking you to do. And for most of you all who are parents, and for us aunties and them, we gonna bend over backwards to ensure that the needs of the kids are met, even to the detriment of us. That's why we take today to celebrate dads, because we know that dads have sacrificed. They pick that extra shift up. They do that extra work. They go the extra mile. If anybody don't get in the house, daddy and mama don't get. But if you got a good dad, daddy gives his to mama because he know what makes it all go and work. So dads are always providing. Dads are always protecting. If you got a good daddy, you never walked on the side that's on the street side, because daddy makes sure you walk on the inside, so if anything comes up or comes forward, that he can protect you. He gonna hold your hand to ensure that you're protected. And so how much more, if as men they have instinct to do that, how much more does your heavenly Father, who has 1,000 cattle on 1,000 hills, want to answer what you ask, want you to find what you seek, want to answer the door when you knock? You just got to believe that God is who he is. And you got to get to know who he is so that you'll know that he's always there, even though everybody, I don't care who you are, if you're depending on the people in this life, they will let you down because they are not God. There will come a day and a time where they ain't gonna show up for you because they don't know you. They didn't create you, and they don't know how to show up for you every time, but you have a heavenly Father who is dedicated. And Jesus is putting it out there. If you ask and you keep asking, it'll be given to you. If you seek and you continue to seek him, you will find. If you knock, it will be open to you, whatever the door is. Because God has good gifts for his children. And so if you consider yourself a child of God, you've got to recognize and realize that you have the right to ask. You have the right to seek. You have the right to knock. Now flip over to James chapter 1 for me. James chapter 1. Because sometimes when we're asking, we do the wrong things. So we got to clear this up. This is the first thing I think about when I ask for something, and it's not given to me in a sowing and reaping reasonable period of time. You know you sow and then you reap. So it doesn't mean that the answer's got to come immediately. But if it seems like it's taking a while, I go back here to James chapter 1 and James chapter 4. Amen? If you're in James chapter 1, say, I have it. We're going to read verse 6 together on the count of 3. James 1, 6. 1, 2, 3. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Give God a praise offering for the word. So James says in verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. And then he says, but let him ask in faith. So the question is, when you ask, are you asking in faith? That's the first thing you need to ask yourself. When you ask, are you asking in faith? Have you ever asked somebody for something and you're pretty sure the answer is going to be no? You know, when I was in college, it used to be the cool thing for the kids to go to Myrtle Beach the first week after we got out of school, and we called it first week, and the kids would go to Myrtle Beach and hang out, fellowship with one another. Normally, there was some drinks going on, some partying going on, probably a lot of sex going on, and I thank God every day that when I was in college, there were no cell phones, period, and therefore no camera phones, period, and no evidence of any crime except the testimony of my friends and family, because God knows that y'all youngins today got a lot. Because those videos are constantly, those phones are always recording, amen? But when I went to ask my father, and I knew it wasn't even no need to ask my mama, because she was not the authority in the household. When I went to ask my father if I could go to first week, I knew the answer was going to be no. And so even though I asked, I did not ask in faith, believing that I was going to receive what I asked for. I just threw a Hail Mary and hoped for the best, that maybe he was in a good mood that day and would let me be free. But I was not free. I was bound. And I was not allowed to go to first week. And some of us, when we ask God for things, we just be throwing up prayers, but we don't believe. We don't believe that God is who he says he is. And the way we ask is an indication that we don't believe. We have checked all the boxes but the faith box. And the scripture says in the Amplified, but he must ask for wisdom in faith without doubting God's willingness to help. For the one who doubts is like a billowing surge of the sea that is blown about and tossed by the wind. So if you're not in faith, then your prayer just out there, like you on the sea in the wind. It ain't gonna land at any particular point in time. So every time that you ask, when you first think about why you didn't receive what you asked for, you gotta go back to your faith walk. The word says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, that we're supposed to walk by faith, not by sight, but that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So it also makes you think, is what you pray for aligned with the word of God? And are you hearing the word enough to receive what you ask for? Some things, you know, I could, if Enoch calls me and said when he was in college, I need 20 bucks. He knows I'm good for that. We good at 20. If Enoch called me and asked me for $2,000, he got to have a different level of faith to acquire the $2,000 because it's going to come with a lot of stuff. And so he's not going to ask me for $2,000 if he don't think he's going to get $2,000, but $20? Sure, or you might just throw it out there, but not thinking that you're going to get it. And so you have to, when you are asking for things, be in faith, first of all. Now flip over to James chapter 4. Just should be a page or two. James chapter 4, and we're going to read verse 3. James chapter 4, verse 3. If you're there, say, I have it. Okay, on the count of three. One, two, three. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. Give God a praise offering. So the second reason sometimes you don't receive what you ask for, you might have a lot of faith, but James says you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. This is the hard one right here. In the Amplified, it says you ask God for something and do not receive it because you ask with wrong motives, out of selfishness, or with an unrighteous agenda. so that when you get what you want, you may spend it on your hedonistic desires. God knows your heart. You can fool us if you want to, but you can't fool him. So you've been asking for this house, and you ain't got no house. And God's word says he desires for us to prosper and be in health just as our soul prospers. There is no reason God would not want you to have the house you want. But sometimes you ask amiss because you're asking with the wrong motive. Why do you want that house? If you already got a place to stay, why do you want that house? And you know, we can be real specific with our ask. We've learned to add the details and be really focused. But the question really is, for what? For what purpose? How does God get the glory? Or is this just for your hedonistic desire? Do you just want to close your gate and never open your home to those who don't have homes, to those who need meals? Or will paying for your home rob you? You'll be house poor and you can't manage to give into the kingdom of God and take care of the things of God because you got to spend all your income on your house and you don't have nothing left after your house payment. You drop your payment. Some of y'all on the first, you drop that payment on the first and y'all just there. I remember that being in grad school because I wasn't making that much money. And then you pay your rent. And I would get one good meal a month. I would either go to Outback, because back then the Outback special was $9.99. Before all the inflation on the inflation on the inflation, I'd get me a steak and two sides and a piece of bread. Or I would go to Sam's and get me a bag of crab legs, because the bag of crab legs was $12.99, 2 pounds just for me. And then I would be eating sandwiches and salad. I'd be buying lettuce, tomato, cucumber, some bread, some peanut butter and jelly, and some sort of meat. And that was all I could afford to eat for the rest of the month because I was a grad student, rent was very high, and I had no money left over for that. I had to put gas in my car, blah, blah, blah. And so you may think that you want this house, but you want it out of hedonistic pleasures, and God has not blessed you with the house because you're asking amiss. You may be asking for the house, but not asking for the salary that accompanies the house that allows you to live and not feel like you underwater every other second. And you mad at God because you don't have that house. You mad at God because you don't have that car. And God is preventing you from the bondage that you are set to put yourself in because you haven't added A and B. And so you have asked amiss. You want that husband for the wrong motives. You want that wife for the wrong motives. You want them kids for the wrong motives. You want that position for the wrong motives, not for him to be glorified in what you do, but just because it's what you want. And sometimes we ask God for stuff that we know we ain't got no business asking God for. Lord, just kill him, Lord. Just take him out. Whatever you may say, take him out. You don't even know what that means. You're not supposed to pray ill will on anybody, but you'll be like, Lord, just handle them. And your heart is saying, what I mean by handle is, take them off the face of the earth so that I don't have to deal with this. Now, we know that God puts none of the diseases upon us because he's the Lord that heals us. So we know it's never his desire for us to not do anything but walk in divine health. And yet, we know what we need to do. We know we need to get this heart to exercising 30 minutes at least 4 times a week. And you be asking the Lord to heal you, to get off your blood pressure medication, and you lay up in your bed or sit on your couch and you don't move your body. You are asking amiss because he's already provided the way for you to get yourself in better shape. if you sat up there and got fat, you got to sit up there and do the things that bring him glory in your body. You got to discipline yourself black and blue until your body conforms. And then you can say, Lord, I know I messed up, but help me. Help me to bring my body into excellence. Help me to eat the right things. Help me not to emotionally eat. Help me not to be lazy when I get home. Show me what I need to do to eat or drink to provide more energy to myself from day to day. Show me what I need to do so that I go to sleep at night and wake up and I don't put my hands to idle stuff that gets me in trouble, like eating snacks. You ever been so tired you just go home and lay it down? You don't care about no food? We can all stand to have a few more days where we skip a meal and we lay it down. We've been fasting and praying. We know it ain't gonna hurt us. But we want God to just work a miracle. Lord, let me just sit in my, because it's hedonistic desires. Why would you want to sit in your house and not exercise your body? You know you feel better when you exercise. If you've ever exercised, even when you're first getting off the couch to do it, yeah, you're going to feel it the next day, but overall, you feel good. It is what God has designed for us. So don't be praying that the cost of your medication go down. Get your butt up. Move your body to the glory of God so you don't have to buy that medication. Then you can get that car and that house you want. Then you can go on that vacation you want to go on so you can get your groove back, Stella. I'm just saying. Sometimes we are asking amiss because we miss the point. And we need to think about it. If I'm asking for this thing and it ain't moving, and you can tell in the spirit when a thing ain't moving, okay, Lord, what is it in me that I need to tweak, to fix? Reveal to me what I've missed so that I can go back, realign myself with your will for my life, with your word, so that I can do what you've called me to do. That means sometimes what you ask for may go away because either you were doubting or you were asking amiss. And sometimes it's both. And you just need to cancel that and reboot with the Lord and figure out what's really wrong. You'd be like, Lord, help me in my health. But the Lord wants to heal you of the emotional distress that is making you treat yourself the way you do. He wants you to be whole. He binds up and heals the brokenhearted. And so he can heal anything, even your mental stuff, even your emotional stuff that impacts. Anything that deals with your heart, if you ain't carrying in the weight, it's stress. It is stress. And you are stressing yourself out because you're losing the battle of your mind, because you haven't renewed your mind with the word of God. And so you are asking God for things amiss, and you're not coming to him in the right way. Amen? Amen. Turn back to Matthew chapter 6. And you can go back to Matthew chapter 7 because we're just going to catch the last couple of verses in Matthew chapter 6. But we're still in Matthew 7. If you like me, it's all on the same page. Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to read verse 33. We're going to talk about seeking. Praise God. Amen? If you're in Matthew 6, 33, say, I have it. Okay, let's begin. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Give God a praise offering for the word. Seek means to worship, to be about or to go about, to desire, to endeavor, to inquire for. So when you're seeking, you're worshiping, You're going about and being about the thing. You're desiring the thing. You're endeavoring the thing. You're inquiring for the thing. And the Amplified, Matthew 6:33 says, but seek, aim at, and strive after, first of all, his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right. And then all these things taken together will be given you besides. So sometimes as we're seeking, what Jesus is telling us to seek is God's face, his will, his purpose for our life. And we seek in for meaning that doesn't have anything to do with God. It's the shortcut. You know, I'm praying and believing, and now I got to blow my whole prayer up because the Holy Spirit done got in my business through this lesson that I'm giving you right now. Believe in the Lord for a new job, but then God is like, seek, worship, be about me, the desires and endeavors. You don't want to listen to me tell you what I want you to do. So what I want is a new job to replace my old job, and that may not be what he's called me to do. And that's a tough lesson, because now I got to disabuse myself that I'm going to go work for somebody else. That's the easy solution. That gets me out of the line of fire from the people that I don't like to work with. But it may not be what he's called me to be. And maybe my purpose isn't done where I am. So I got to stay where I am till I fulfill my purpose, and then he'll grant me something else. No, he doesn't want to be me to be working on a job where I'm suffering all the time. But do I trust him? Do I have faith and believe that he's going to take care of me regardless? We want to get out the fire. We don't want him to be with us in the fire. He can have us to the point where we're not even burned. But we have to trust that that's where he wants us to be. So as we're seeking, we always have to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then let everything else be added to us. Amen? And then knock. Knock means to rap. Knock. To hit on the door of, right? And so Revelations 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone comes in, hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. That's what Jesus says in Revelations 3:20. Just write it down and you can look it up later. Revelations 3:20 in the Amplified says, behold, I stand at the door of the church and continually knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him or restore him and he with me. Jesus knocked at the door of your heart first. And when you accepted him as Lord and Savior, then it's your turn to knock and let him open the doors of your life for you. It just reciprocates. Once you allowed him, he asked you to be Lord and Savior of your life. He brought someone in your path to present the gospel to you, someone planted to you and watered in you, and he gave the increase. And so you freely accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life. It was an exchange, and we have to understand our roles here. Jesus is saying, you ask, you seek, you knock, and my Father is going to answer and have you define and open the door for you. So you got to do your part so he can do his part. And just like he trusted you to accept him as Lord and Savior, you got to trust him to be your provider, your protector, your all in all, your everything, your peace, your joy, your healer. That's what he brings to the table. You're in an agreement, but you do have to ask. You do have to seek. You do have to knock. And there's something about our approach that is missing, and that's the perspective of a child. Turn over to Matthew chapter 18. That's our last scripture today. Matthew chapter 18. And we're going to read verses 2, 3, and 4 together. Matthew chapter 18, verses 2, 3, and 4. We need to come to the throne of grace as a child. We need to have a childlike perspective and a childlike heart to approach the throne of grace. If you're in Matthew chapter 18, say, I have it. Okay. You're going to read the part in red. I'm going to read the part in black, and I'm starting at verse 2. We're going to verse 4. Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and he said, begin. Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Give God a praise offering for the word. If you want to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, you have to approach the throne of grace like a child. And the Amplified says in verse 3, truly I say to you, unless you repent, change, turn about, and become like little children, trusting, lowly, loving, forgiving, you can never enter the kingdom of heaven at all. You got to be trusting and lowly and loving and forgiving. It is why we are so careful, if we've been raised right, in the way we treat these children. Because it don't matter if Christian runs up here to me, I can't act like I'm busy. He don't care that I gotta minister the word. He's seeking love, and he's expecting me to meet the need of whatever it is. And it's my job to provide for the child. Of whatever it is. And so if we always approach the throne of grace like a child, knowing that God is always going to provide, there is something about childlike faith that is like any other. I took Mackenzie out this December. She was staying with over at Margaret's house for an extended period of time. So they had her for Christmas, and then she stayed a week after Christmas. It was Butch and Jaquita's 10th anniversary, and they went out of town. And so we had the kids. And Mackenzie called me and said, come get me, I'm bored. So I had already been warned that I was gonna be on deck. So I'm the great aunt. I done been through this with Kayla and Enoch before. So I don't feel like I'm owed anything. But if Mackenzie calls and says, come get me on board, I'm going to do it. Because in this particular case, she's my child. And she is calling on me. I got to show up and be the auntie I'm supposed to be. So we go over to Sand Hill, and I ask her if she wants to go to the movies, since we were over there, and there's Moana 2 playing or something. And so I ask her what she wants when she's at the movies. And she just says, I want this, 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 and this. And so if you haven't been to the movies, or at least at Sand Hill lately, there's no price list that accompanies these requests. And so it's me and Mackenzie, and we got two tickets to the show, and we have a popcorn, and I have a drink, and she has a drink, and she has a candy. And that lady said, it's $76. Oh, she had a pizza. And I just pause, because I'm like, this is why I don't go to these movies. And this is why I'm a cheap date. I don't even like to eat at the theater. But Mackenzie wanted a little bit of these things, and because she's accustomed to getting what she wants, then I just take my card out and tap it, because I don't want her to be concerned and say, no, we're not gonna have this, that, and the other. I don't wanna get in any disputation with the lady, because she should have gave me the kids' meal and blah, blah, blah. I'm looking at the screen. I don't see no option for no kids' meal. And I'm sitting here like, how are we going at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and our tickets alone are $25? But it don't matter because I'm there to provide. So we go. She don't eat none of the pizza. She take one bite. She drinks part of her drink, and then, as kids do, she has to go to the bathroom. So it's just me and her. So once we leave that food, it is left because we can't come back and eat or drink anymore, and we can't take the food to the bathroom. And so I'm here to protect and provide for the child. But I'm sitting here with my mind blown. So we are driving to our house. Mackenzie hasn't been to our house since she was a little kid. And she said, "Well, how do you think the experience went today with me and you? Did you have a good time?" And I'm driving and I'm thinking, why would you even question? If I didn't love you, I wouldn't even come pick you up. If I didn't love you, I would have done none of this for you. But I realized that she needed affirmation from me that I indeed enjoyed her presence in what we were doing, that she was worthy of the time and energy spent. She wouldn't even think about the money, but she was worthy of all that. So then I had to take time to say, "Mackenzie, I had a wonderful day with you. This is the best fellowship. Every time I spend with you is time well spent, because she's my de facto child in that moment." Think about what God does for you. He don't just meet the need for you. He doesn't just make the way for you. He whispers to you in the midnight hours and says, "You're mine. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. You're above only and not beneath. You're the head and not the tail. You come behind and no good thing. You're a part of my purpose for this life. I created you with you in mind to do great and wonderful things in this earth. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." So it's not just about, he does it for us. If we come to him like a child, sometimes when we're asking and seeking and knocking, we're asking for God to say, "I love you. I care for you. I always have you in mind." And every single time when you look in his word, you see that he has provided for you, that he's protected you, that he heals you, that he wants the best for you. And so you can't take for granted the perspective of being grown. Don't go to God like you grown. You'll miss what you need. What you really need for him to say is, "You're all that because I made you all that. You can do this because I made you with the ability to do this. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. You're fearfully and wonderfully made because he made you. You didn't make you wonderful. He made you wonderful for a purpose." And sometimes you just need to hear that. You don't need another thing. You just need to know your love. And as we move throughout this earth and we are talking and fellowshipping with other people, it's all God really wants us to do. Be a good witness for him and ask and seek and knock. Amen. Give God a praise offering for the word. Praise the Lord.